Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup.
You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes? I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change.
Maybe welcome back.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast. And so yesterday I mentioned we've been sort of talking about the Dodd Report over the last couple of days as a result of the email that I received from Larry with a link to Russ Winter's article over at winterwatch.net titled Reese Committee Report from 1954 shows foundations funded the collectivist capture of U.S. education. And it's a good write-up. We played the interview, an excerpt of the Norman Dodd interview, J. Edward Griffin interviewing Norman Dodd, 1982. And that is essential listening for most folks. It's astonishing to hear the story that Norman Dodd tells of Catherine Casey reviewing the meeting minutes of the Carnegie Endowment's early meetings and the shocking revelation that from 1908 – they discussed the best way to alter the lives and thinking of the American people. The best way to do that, they decided in a very learned fashion, they discussed it, as Norman Dodd said. And then they settled on the idea that war was the best way to do that. And in 1909, they discussed how to involve the U.S. in war. And deciding that the state control of the State Department was essential. This coincides with the Rhodes-Milner roundtable group discussions. And I always mention when this comes up, Carol Quigley's book published posthumously, The Anglo-American Establishment, and even the Amazon book description, that image, why is the British Union there on the cover and why is the American flag inset upside down and backwards? What is the symbolism there? And the Amazon book description reads, Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. And remember, this is the same Carol Quigley that Bill Clinton gave a nod to and said that was his mentor at Georgetown University. This is also the same Carol Quigley who wrote Tragedy and Hope, published in 1966, and in it he wrote that he had been studying this Anglophile network for a period of about 20 years and had an opportunity for an extended period of about 2 years to look at their own secret documents, their own private documents. And that's how the book Tragedy and Hope came about. So Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. If I didn't know better, I would say that there was a correlation there. So what the Reese Committee uncovered was shocking. That, yes, Virginia Foundations were working in a very subversive, un-American, anti-American sort of fashion to alter life in America precisely the way that Rowan Gaither revealed to Norman Dodd, and as Catherine Casey uncovered in the Carnegie Endowment meeting minutes. And so from the Dodd report, Norman Dodd wrote that to essentially, well, the way he put it, our effort to expose common factors revealed only one, namely the public interest. And so they had to sort of define terms. He set his staff to, this will explain why subsequent studies were made by the staff of the size, scope, form, and functions of the federal government from the period 1903-1953, the results of which are set forth in detail in a report by Thomas M. McNeese, Assistant Research Director, entitled The Economics of the Public Interest. But Norman Dodd wrote, these original studies of the public interest disclosed that during the 4 years, 1933 to 36, a change took place which was so drastic as to constitute a revolution. They also indicated conclusively that the responsibility for the economic welfare of the American people had been transferred heavily to the executive branch of the federal government. From where? From themselves. We were creating the welfare state. Continuing, that a corresponding change in education had taken place from an impetus outside the local community, and that this revolution had occurred without violence and with the full consent of an overwhelming majority of the electorate. How could this possibly have happened? Next section, education. Norman Dodd writes, in seeking to explain this unprecedented phenomenon, subsequent studies pursued by the staff clearly showed it could not have occurred peacefully or with the consent of the majority unless education in the United States had been prepared in advance to endorse it. But my point in diving down the Dodd report, the Reese Committee and Dodd report rabbit hole, really, and at some point maybe we'll get back to Russ Winter's article because it's great. My point in mentioning this and reading from the Dodd report specifically is to go further. I think that you heard in the last hour as I was reading the accessory agencies entry in the Dodd report, part two, accessory agencies. We heard about some like the League for Industrial Democracy, which Dodd wrote might be compared to the Fabian Society in England, which was established in 1884 to spread socialism by peaceful means. We heard about the Progressive Education Association and also the American Historical Association, which concluded that the day of the individual in the United States had come to an end, and that the future would be characterized inevitably by some form of collectivism and an increase in the authority of the state. This has come to be recognized primarily today as the communitarian bent. And it's a weird, reflexive kind of shape-shifting policymaking where it's reflexive in nature. It's constantly responding to it's the cybernetic feedback loop, essentially, trying to brick up the wall to all opposition, trying to wall off any opposition and make very diabolical arguments against any sort of opposition. But what is the real agenda here? Is it just money? Is it just power and control? And I would submit to you that that is not it. I would submit to you that the ultimate objective is the work of the hierarchy that you can find over at Lucius Trust. The problem can be most simply stated. Either the spiritual hierarchy exists with all its potencies of love, wisdom, and skill in action, so-called, or for ages humanity has suffered from hallucinations. Either Christ and his group of masters, this is obviously the Antichrist, initiates and disciples are facts in the natural processes of evolution. The devil always wants to counterfeit something that God has done and then conscript all efforts to that end into his own objectives. Either, I would say, the Antichrist and his group of masters, with a capital M, initiates and disciples are facts of natural process of evolution, historically proven and known through their spiritual activity down the ages, or people have been victims during those ages of a gigantic fraud emanating from what and where. Either the spiritual worlds and the three worlds of human endeavor can be related, or there is nothing to past beliefs, to ancient stories of manifesting divinity, and to the constantly recurring periods of divine intervention. The work of the spiritual hierarchy of the planet, the outstanding and dramatic feature of hierarchical action in the present era, is the preparation now underway in the hierarchy for its return to outer plane activity. It is important, therefore, that more people know about the fact of the hierarchy and about what sort of men the masters, capital M, of the wisdom, capital W, really are. Then there's the nature of the hierarchy. Masters of wisdom, there is a plan. The work of disciples, two basic needs, a program of action, opportunity today. Those sections follow. So this is the central plan in simple terms. It's a short read, and I would not encourage anyone to read it apart from basically sort of, you know, an eschatological, a biblically based eschatological context or perspective. This, I think, corresponds with the picture of Revelation, the book of Revelation, and other places. So I would submit to you that this is the bigger central plan when you see all of these organizations coming together to create a world government. What is happening in a one world religion? My conjecture is that we are seeing a push toward the finishing of the great unfinished work of Genesis 11 and the attempt to essentially overthrow God in heaven once and for all. And so there is a battle that has been raging in the heavens, in the spiritual realm, beyond what I can see, EYE. And now that is making its way more and more out into the physical realm that I can see. So the reason for reading the Dodd Report is to say that all of this groundwork has been laid, and it goes back before the Fabian Society and the Rhodes Milner Roundtable groups, obviously. It's not to advance British imperialism. It's to advance the Greek Hellenistic impulse from antiquity that goes right back to Genesis 11 and the great unfinished work of the Tower of Babel. So hopefully that makes sense. And with that, we will get to the video that I mentioned, Midnight Ride, the androgynous God of America. We'll probably do that tomorrow. Let me just finish the Dodd Report real quick, and then we'll go to the phones, actually. So from the list of accessory agencies, continuing that list, the John Dewey Society was formed in February 1936, apparently for the twofold purpose of conducting research in the field of education and promoting the educational philosophy of John Dewey, in honor of whom the society was named. It could be supposed that those who were members of this organization would be devoted to the premises upon which Dr. Dewey has based his experiments in education since 1896. Basically, there were pragmatic and a stimulus to empirical thinking. Empirical thinking. He held that ideas were instruments and that their truth or falsity depended upon whether or not they worked successfully. So, again, just as a bit of background, what was happening, and I think Norman Dodd did a good job of subtly making this plainly evident, was the shift was not just characterized by some form of collectivism and the sunsetting of the day of the individual, as the American Historical Association put it, or concluded, but a shift away from a Christian context of life. And so, as I have been trying to point out and illustrate in recent months, what we see now in America, you know, there are a lot of folks that go to church, so-called, a lot of folks that would call themselves Christians, but we live in a society that is interventionist, state interventionist. It's people intervening. This is the kind of the knee-jerk reaction. It's the de facto state of things. And I think it corresponds to so many things like the inversion of our historical form of the predominant body of law, being the common law. People are left to themselves, and essentially the idea is, as Paul reminds us in Romans 12, leave room for God. Do not take matters into your own hands. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Historically, that was how we operated in America. And then there was a shift, really beginning in the Civil War era, the post-Civil War, the Reconstruction era, and culminating in the Erie Railroad versus Tompkins case, where the Supreme Court ruled that there is no federal general common law in America anymore. And then the administrative fourth branch was codified. Now that's the predominating body of law. And that's what young people study, and they don't even know. In many cases, I think that there is a difference. I've told stories before of, for example, a woman in court. The judge says, she says, I'm not prepared. I'm willing to, you know, she says, I'd like a continuance. The judge says, I'm willing to grant you a continuance. This was in Kootenai County, Idaho. He says, I'm willing to grant you a continuance as long as you're willing to waive your right to a speedy trial. That there's a back and forth. She says, I will not waive any of my rights. And a public defender hears this and says, I think I understand what's going on. They go out and have a 5-minute recess in the hall. He comes back in and says, my client now all of a sudden. My client is adamant about preserving her constitutional right to a speedy trial, but she is willing to waive her statutory right to a speedy trial. And I looked around at everyone else like, what just happened? Did everyone else hear this? No one batted an eye. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Welcome back. So the same forces that are involved in creating this shift in American thinking and preparing education in advance to endorse it, this revolution, are the same forces across the pond that are doing the same kinds of things, introducing this socialist bent, a focus on the social sciences, empirical evidence, in Dewey fashion. But I've talked about how empirical evidence or empirical thinking curiously leaves out, again, the the mystery of God, so to speak, and the miraculous. And so I think that's an important correlation. Hopefully that's enough. And I could continue on this, but I think we'll go to the phones real quick in the interest of time. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
And I didn't realize the National Education Association went back that far. You last hour you said something like 1850 something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's an alternative to that, at least in Kentucky, that I've heard about that is not pro-choice. I guess there's the National Education Association, and it's pro-life. If there's anybody that knows any teachers that need to be part of that, you know, for insurance purposes, that's one of the main benefits, I think, that they sell the NEA and the other I can't remember the other one. Anyway, National Education Association, the NEA is pro-choice. Anyway, Kentucky Association of Professional Educators is the alternative, whatever that would be, KAPE or something. But I couldn't, you know, when you were talking about the NEA, right after that, you mentioned a document. I didn't quite catch it all, but it said something to the effect that the individual must be modified to the group.
Yeah, I was reading from the Dodd Report. To the Reese Committee on Foundations. Yeah, back
sounds
in 1954.
Like the board collective to me.
And the section that you're referring to is it's part two, accessory agencies. These are the additional so they obviously were directed to investigate the foundations, but then there were these extensions of the foundations. This is to help explain the influence in education. There were accessory or ancillary agencies that extended the influence of from the foundation to education. These are sort of the intermediary or accessory agencies. And so it was that the American Historical Association, for example, which in Dodd's report he said concluded that the day of the individual in the United States had come to an end and that the future would be characterized inevitably by some form of collectivism and an increase in the authority of the state.
So this has been going on a long time, and it has to be dovetailed with what I've been calling the 150-year con job on the Christian church.
Yeah.
That... Obviously, before they found Mr. C.I. Schofield to play around with the Greek and Latin, you know.
Dispensations and so forth.
Dispensationalism and all that fun stuff. They had to have those efforts were already.
So let me just say a word on dispensationalism real quick. The thing, again, there is, you know, context matters, and in all of this, I always try to emphasize the question, who's in charge, who decides? And with dispensationalism, you always come away from, you know, is there a possibility or some kind of validity of the term dispensation? Maybe, but the problem is the meta or the context of who decides when the dispensation occurs. If we're even to entertain the possibility of this concept of dispensationalism, who decides? And you always see the hand of man basically steering and controlling this. It's always some kind of a surreptitious justification for, hey, I have this idea and here is the justification. In this case, dispensationalism says, you know, that there are these ages of dispensation where things are poured out, and it just so happens to coincide with this thing that I believe that I need to justify somehow, if that makes sense.
Manufactured. And pause on that for a second. I wanted to go back, and you talked about the androgynous stuff that you were somehow or another you were referencing androgyny, like It's Just Pat, the Saturday Night Live character.
Right, Julia Sweeney.
Right.
Yeah, we're headed into a break.
Right after the break, I'd like to mention something about that I saw 22 years ago.
All right, sounds good. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Welcome back. All right, we're on the phones. Mike in Kentucky, 22 years ago, androgyny.
The last actual manager I worked under that also, like the previous manager, absconded with some big check that was paid once a year and left town. Had went down and tried to make nice with the local city government and stuff, and they had they'd been promoting this thing called Sister Cities. And a sister city for the targeted town of Kim Davis, as I like to call it over here, Morehead, Kentucky, was Ballymena, Ireland, I think it was. And inside the packet of materials that they gave out as a press kit was this picture of something called an industrial estate. Mm-hmm. And if you're familiar with Brave New World, I had just seen, you know, the 1999 production of Sci-Fi Channel and NBC with Leonard Nimoy of Brave New World. And so on the cover of this with the industrial estate in Ireland was this androgynous blonde, can't tell he or she, in a like an orange jumpsuit, and you know, described it and pictured it. It's like they have, you know, on-site workers living in dormitories, and I got the impression that they must, you know, the ideal situation would be they're all infertile, so that you don't have to worry about any liaisons that they have happening.
Right.
You don't have to worry about maternity leave, you know, and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, that was
and the orange jumpsuit is typically,
like
yeah.
Well, anyway.
Yep.
But yeah, they called it an industrial estate. I thought that was, I was like, holy moly, man, here we go. That was 20,
yeah.
That was year 2000 or 2001 when I saw that. I wish I still had that because it was so, you know, kind of shocking to see the portrayal of their worker drone, you know, the Delta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, going back to what you mentioned there, what I was going to say about dispensationalism is, I understand where the concept came from and the idea that some of these prophecies were sealed until certain things happened, like the 70th week of Daniel. It tells you right there, you know, he asks, you know, how will we know when this is going to happen or whatever? And whoever's speaking to him, a messenger of some sort, says, when the power of the holy people has finally been broken. And of course, all those seals that Daniel or revelations were sealed, right? And I always thought that was interesting that, you know, whenever that occurred, 400 BC or something, whenever Daniel's revelations were, versus the book of Revelation, which John the Revelator was told not to seal up the words of his book. In other words, like 400 years versus, hey, this is going to be happening darn quick. Don't seal it up.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the power of the holy people, and how would we know when it's broken? Anybody? Mueller?
Thoughts for
what was the power of the holy people, perhaps, back when Daniel was being spoken to? You know, the temple, of course, Yeshua loosed the animals as he's kicking over the table of the den of thieves, money changers. I think that's part of the key to it. The power of the holy people was to kill animals and supposedly absolve sin. So if we're talking about those seals being unsealed, how can we say the 70th week of Daniel has been suspended for 2,000 years when a whole bunch of people were told, hey, you know, you're not going to finish going through the towns of Judea before the Son of Man comes? They were breathing and bleeding people that he was talking to when he said that. So those scope-up things seems like a 150-year plan to completely short-circuit the idea that the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, we got to wait for
some. I would agree, sort of suspend it and preempt it at the same time.
Well, in the minds of the church, it's a very disempowering thing, you know, rather than to realize, you know, there's a lot to be realized that they've tried to. Churches used to think that they were Zion, you know. They had that concept that they were the kingdom of God. But now it's like, oh, well, that's something in the future, you know, the futurist view or whatever.
There's an aspect of replacement theology in that, and Paul, I think, spells that out throughout Romans pretty clearly.
I don't know about replacement. You just have to be adopted in. It doesn't matter what tribe you're in. You have to be adopted in. That's in there, too, isn't it? It might be in
right.
Timothy. I can't remember. I just read that the other
right.
day. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for taking my call. That's what I had for you.
I appreciate it, Mike.
All right.
Much appreciated,
thanks.
As always.
Yeah. Okay. Have a
this
good one.
It's interesting. You know, we should probably pursue this. Not right now. We got other calls and this other stuff that I want to get back to, but the idea that Antichrist would abolish the Jewish sacrifices, the sacrifice was essentially – with the destruction of the temple, the sacrifice is essentially put on hold. And so that's an interesting thought that I think gets overlooked a lot of the time. Daniel 12 is, I think, primarily what Mike is talking about. And what Daniel is writing about and the 70 weeks it's interesting the way that this has been adulterated. I always think of Jaron Lanier, the most unlikely person to weigh in on this, and what to me sound like two sides of the same coin in You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, when he says the key to the differences between fanaticism and what is the other word is noticing consequential differences in timing. And he gives the example of those who believe in the rapture and the singularity. And those who believe in the rapture might not be, and specifically, you know, the pre-trib rapture concept, particularly, you know, those folks might not be so concerned. They are the folks who are willing to endure, you know, hardship and suffering and wars, you know, hardship and other people to bring about the events that might kind of spur the rapture into coming. And then in the same sense, he says that those who believe in the singularity would cease to develop technology for the betterment of their fellow man and start working to usher in the events that the singularity will bring. And that's what we're seeing these days. You know, I've commented on that a number of times, that the folks who seem to live in a theological state of suspended animation where they, you know, things are getting worse. And you try to talk about the way that things are getting worse and what that means historically. And they say, I know, ain't it great? Praise God, Jesus is coming. No, it's not great. It's bad. And so there's more, much more on that, but I think for now we'll just table that. We need at least an entire broadcast to start unpacking all of that, because it dates back to at least the time of Christ and before. Anyway, for now, back to the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning. In the last couple of shows, looking at the profiles of the people you've been mentioning, and you've asked the question, who's in charge and who decides? I could say it's the patrician class of the United States that has ruined the United States. Back to you.
Well, there is an argument to be made there. My rhetorical question centers around the idea of Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. And that's who should be deciding in the context that I'm referring to. But
yeah,
we forget, you know, the, I think historically, if we're not having a politically weaponized conversation, I think it's pretty easy for folks to make the argument, or the claim at least, that America has Christian historical roots or biblical historical roots. And if that's the case, and there is still at least a vestige of that, then, you know, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that just gets forgotten in today's interventionist society. We've sort of normalized the intervening into the lives of others, you know, whether it's domestically or abroad.
Sure, and all of the freshmen of all the Ivy League universities or even the land-grant universities, doesn't matter what, we all get a speech saying, you're here to question everything, see? And, you know, new ideas can be found, and it could be you that's going to be the one that saves the whole world, you see? So it's, contrast that with the hunter-gatherer of Montana, who's driving his Ford pickup truck with his high-powered rifle hanging in the back, and, you know, who knows how to fend for himself. And maybe he, you know, he's a plumber, but he's productive, you see. What gives there, you see? Why should some unelected official in Brussels tell a Montana rancher what the hell he can do with his water? This is what they're trying to do, right?
Absolutely.
Use my harsh language there. I hope it didn't offend anybody. But I want to eat beef, and I want that beef to eat grass, you see?
And not to have the grass or the beef genetically modified.
Well, and why are the children of the United States got to take 72 vaccines before they're 18? I just learned about this morning. I've been away from this place for 30-plus years. And how do you expect anybody to test a well on a IQ test if they've had 72 vaccines?
Yeah,
I had a couple of vaccines, and it almost wrecked me back to the polio SV40 crap they gave us around 1960, in the 1960s, early 60s, see?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the patricians. I say patricians, but, well, we got this idea, and then, yeah, you get the pharmaceutical industries, and everybody's high-minded. And in their high-mindedness, they're killing everybody. Back to you.
Absolutely. When it comes to the ridiculous and, you know, the absurd nature of what you're talking about, I mean, the vaccines, for example, it is no secret that vaccines stimulate the immune system. There is all kinds of, you know, there's a much deeper discussion there, but, you know, why are we trying to alter immune systems and stimulate viral responses in people? But the vaccines, in almost every case, stimulate the immune system and make it hyperactive in some cases. But we have a drug for that. Now we have a drug retard your immune system a little bit. If it's overactive, well, how did it become overactive? And so I would ask.
See, this is madness. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's an adverse effect, and you cannot predict exactly what that vaccine is going to do. And obviously it's interfering with neurological development. You've got all these autistic kids appearing out of nowhere. You talk for a while. I'm really angry. Go ahead.
It is, you know, I think the patrician class is an interesting observation. I think that, I think of the Bernaysian influence, and even though people know, they still fall for it, so to speak. I mean, you can give
new clothes type of thing argument.
Yeah. Yeah. You can give someone a copy of propaganda published 100 years ago, almost. And you can flip to the first page, chapter one, Organizing Chaos, which is a very, very esoteric title. And they read the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our society. We are governed. Our minds are molded. Tastes are formed. Ideas suggested largely by men we've never heard of. You can give them that. and say, by the way, if you don't know, this guy wasn't speculating. He was Sigmund Freud's nephew and well paid by this, what he calls invisible government, to do exactly what he's writing about. And these are the first words you read, and still they will say, but, you know, but we should still do all these things that were.
And, right. And those foundations, they are, they've been created, and they have the attitude of looking down on the masses. So what do we call that? Condescendingly. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
They condescendingly look down on the rest of the plumbers who are productive.
Absolutely.
They will know, we'll decide. See? Who's in charge and who decides? We are.
Plato's philosopher kings.
We use a fork for our dessert. We have
absolutely
a linen, you see? Go ahead.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Clouds hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. That was probably appropriate. So my thought quickly, you know, who influences the influencers when it comes to the patrician class? And so in simple terms, because we're short on time, this is why I keep saying, you know, who's in charge, who decides? Because according to the patrician class, who are closely aligned with the philosopher kings, we are smarter. Like you're saying, you know, who are these people to tell the plumber in Montana how what he's supposed to do in raising his beef, his grass-fed and finished beef? And they say, we know better. We're smarter. We know better. But that's why you have to get rid of God in this discussion, because thus saith the Lord is the ultimate trump card. And so once you get rid of that, then it's you know, might makes right in Nietzschean sort of fashion, and might starts with superior intellect and knowledge.
Okay, well, let me just say this. I'm a rancher in Montana. I'll be damned if I'd give my cattle 72 shots, 72 vaccines. Why? Because I need that beef to be quality. And if you take that as an assumption, then obviously they're treating the people worse than cattle.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why I'm a little yeah.
That's okay, probably the most salient takeaway from all of this. Absolutely.
Well, I'll let you go, and I'll let you close out the show, but appreciate you taking my call. Thank you,
James. Much appreciated, as always. And to the patricians and philosopher kings, I would say, read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. The base, the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Why? So that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Chris, I apologize that we missed you. And I hope it was informative. We'll do the Dodd Report a little bit more tomorrow, probably. And I will get to that video, The Androgynous God of America. And we'll talk about that a little bit, because it's important. And the historical implications and the future ramifications are important. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.